Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Two Black Guys with Good Credit. Big Sean, aren't you a big football fan?
I am. I'm a fan of that not-for-long league NFL. I'm also a Canadian, love my CFL as well.
Well, I think it's really interesting that despite the fact that pro athletes make a lot of money, well, at least what most of us consider a lot of money, many of them are ill-equipped to handle those finances. Dion, don't you have some stats on that?
I sure do, sports fans. Sports Illustrated had an article. They said 78% of NFL players who are retired for only 2 years file for bankruptcy. And after 5 years of retirement, 60% of NBA players suffer the same fate.
Well, you can call me Trick Daddy today because I got my bag of tricks to help address this problem. I brought in my main man, ex-NFL player, Mr. CJ Smith. CJ, welcome to Two Black Guys with Good Credit.
Good to have you.
Oh, man. Thank you. It's an honor to be on the show. I've been listening to this show for a while now.
Oh, you're making us blush over here.
Thank you, bro. Okay, well, you know, for those that don't know you, tell me a little bit about CJ, how this whole football hustle started for you and so forth.
So football for me, as a black boy in America, I feel like I only had a couple options to liberate myself, and that was either through entertainment or sports. And so I chose football. And the only way I was going to be able to go to college was on a scholarship. So I had to work hard in football to get that scholarship. So,
and where'd you grow up?
That was my, I grew up in Minnesota, born and raised.
Oh, okay. So you must be a Vikings fan then.
Yeah, I am.
Secretly.
Not really anymore, but yeah.
And sadly enough, you know, I was just mentioning to Dion this week that the Byron Allen said on his interview on The Breakfast Club that you can't name like more than 10 black successful people that haven't really become super wealthy by entertainment or sports. It's like where they start, where the foundation is laid, and then they kind of go off and do other great things. But a lot of wealth is accumulated, you're right, through entertainment or sports. You hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's why what attracted me to this show so much is that there's a lot of successful people who didn't play sports.
When you were coming up, CJ, what kind of financial education did you have, or what was your family like? What were you exposed to as a young man?
Oh man, so just like welfare, Section 8, all those things, and just living check to check. This is a typical black family. Yeah, that's how I explained it.
Did you find that it was like within your community that was like it was kind of promoted and how to, you know, make the system work for you, taking, you know, staying on Section 8 kind of almost was like promoted and how to get more government money opportunity within the black community?
Definitely. You know, people selling food stamps and things like that. So really just trying to work, trying not to work too much so you can still get these benefits. And so that's how I grew up. And that's what I grew up knowing.
So when you got drafted, what were you thinking about in terms of your money, or how did you deal with that? early on?
So I didn't get drafted. I signed as a free agent, so it's a little bit harder for me. I didn't see that big money until I made the active roster. But when I did make the active roster, a lot of people around me, thankfully, just told me just to try to save some money. And so, thankfully, I did save a little bit of money, as much as I could, but I also spent a lot. So. Yeah.
And when you were trying to make that active roster, were you like in the mindset of like trying to make it to get this money? Or were you like what they promoted on TV, like, I'm trying to win championships and so forth? Or most were the mentality amongst you and other players like, we trying to get this money?
I'm trying to get this money.
Big check.
I don't know about anybody else. I'm trying to get this money. So, yeah, that was mine.
And it makes sense that you want to get the big check, right? Because when you look at what the average career span is for an NFL player, it's about, they say, 4.8 years. They said NBA is 4.8 years. NFL, 5.6. So you get a little bit longer.
No, NFL's less.
Yeah, I think it's lower than that.
Oh, no, sorry. You know what? My bad. Let me take it back. So NBA... then MLB, then NFL. So I mixed it up. So NBA, 4.8. You might get a little longer in the baseball league, 5.6. But yeah, that's a brutal sport. So NFL, 3.5 years. You need to make that money and then make it stretch.
Not for long. That's what we call it. And what was your fallback plan if you didn't make it to the NFL? I mean, you were courageous enough to say, you know, what made you say, you know, I didn't get drafted, but I'm going to still try to hustle it out and just come be an unrestricted free agent or whatever you want to call it, and just walk on the field and try to make the team. What was it going through your mind? Was it do or die?
Yeah, it was do or die. And I have a lot of stories. I went through a lot of things throughout my first year, but it did become do or die because I was scared of working at a desk for the rest of my life. And so that was my mentality.
Did you have any financial advisors at all when you were even in that process or early on, you know, that were giving you, like you said, some of the players gave you advice? Anyone beyond that in your circle?
No, not really. Just the normal things like my mom and my family just telling me just to save and make sure I pay off my debt. And so at least I got those two things to pay off my debt and save a little bit of money.
It's interesting that you say that, Charles, because the NFL Players Association, they claim that 78 players lost a total of $42 million just between 1999 and 2002 because they actually had bad advisors, which I thought was...
Yeah.
You're looking to go to someone who's trusted with your money, and then they end up being the ones to end up swindling you in the end.
I think that's a big problem.
And what's the locker room talk like in there when it comes in terms of money? And what was your mindset as well?
So it depends on what type of guys you surround yourself with in the locker room. But majority of the guys in the locker room are spending money. You're getting these checks every single week, big checks every week. And so you're looking for ways to spend. And so that was just the motto. It was a fashion show every time you step into the locker room.
Wow.
Who has the best car? Who has the nicest TV? Who has the best shoes? So just things like that.
And they would actually talk about it?
Yeah, definitely. So, like I said, as soon as you pull into the parking lot, you see all these different type of cars.
Wow.
And so it started there.
And were you saying people were living paycheck to paycheck, waiting for the next check to spend it, or was that a lot of the mindset?
I don't think people are actually living paycheck to paycheck during the season, but we only get paid throughout the season. So after the season, we didn't get paid. And so after the season, I think some people probably struggled because they spent all their money in those 16 weeks.
And what about management? Are they advising them, seeing how their spending habits and coming to you guys saying, hey, you need to slow down and manage your money better? Or is like the ownership getting involved or just watching this show happen every week?
So the NFL is fortunate enough that they do have the NFLPA. And as a rookie in the NFL, you have to spend a certain amount of time learning about finances a little bit. But usually when you're playing football, you have to be immersed in it to make it. Like you don't have much time to think about anything else besides football. And so it's kind of hard to receive that message when you're in it.
And you're not being monitored after that. You're just on your own after you do that. Nobody's saying anything to you. People are just watching you spend. And as long as you perform, everything is okay.
Exactly. You hit it on the head.
Now, before you got the big check, like when you're in that walk-on mode or when you're getting signed or a practice squad or that early on first year, what kind of money do those players make?
Yeah, so if you're on practice squad, you probably get like $7,000 a week. And then after tax, that's probably like like $4,000 or $3,500.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
That's
but it's 16 weeks, though. I mean, still not bad. But
out of 52.
Right.
Right? I don't know if I realize that you guys got paid weekly. But how can you focus, right? Like, so you're playing ball, right? Then you barely get a little bit of financial literacy. And then on top of that, you've got all kinds of people pitching you business ideas.
And family in your
right?
pockets.
And unfortunately, that's been another real issue for athletes. So Ed Batowski, he's a financial professional at Chapman Investments. He says athletes are targets for poor investment pitches because they know people know you got the big checks.
Speaking of big check, so what did you do with your first big check, CJ?
So my first big check, I bought a car. That
was cash? You bought it all cash?
Can you blame them?
I did it. And I'm a little embarrassed to say that I put $10,000 down to finance this car.
I don't even want to ask, what kind of car did you buy? I want to hear. Were you keeping up with the other guys on the team? What did you buy? Tell me you bought a Honda. Please tell me you bought a Honda, CJ.
No.
What'd you get?
The Phantom.
What'd you get?
A $30,000 Mercedes.
Oh, you Benzed it out. Woo! Are you practice squad dude right now, or are you actually on the active roster with the Benz?
So I was making active money when I bought the Benz.
Okay.
All
so
right.
So how were you getting to work before that? You were taking the bus? Anybody on the practice squad that I respect said you used to take public transportation to the practices that you know of?
No, there's a couple of guys who live not too far away who bike, but nobody's taking the bus.
Okay, so let me ask you one more question. So now you got the big check, you bought the car. I'm sure, because I, as poor as I am, I get it. Like, what was family pressure or peer pressure like amongst friends? Like, how were they all waiting too on this check to come?
I would say somewhat, yeah. I think some people in my family might have looked at me a little differently, but I was always kind of low-key, and I think that helped me a lot because I just didn't respond to a lot of people unless you were inside my immediate circle. So
give me an example of how somebody reached out to you. I just want to hear, what did they say? Somebody like distant.
Oh man, there's people out the woodworks, not even family, just people who I might've came in contact for a couple of weeks. it got crazy. And even sometimes still to this day, I'll have like old teammates that hit me up and they're asking for money. And it's really sad to see actually.
Wow. Yeah, well, we know the stats, right?
Wow. These are guys that didn't make it as well and think that you made it out, so you have to kind of give back a little.
Mm-hmm. How hard was it budgeting that, 16-week? When you got to the off season, was it difficult for you? I know for a lot of players it is. Did you struggle in those off season months? Did you have to get jobs? Did you just wait till the season started? What was that like?
I didn't know. I didn't at all. I spent a lot of money in the off season. I can't lie, but not all my money, so I was fortunate enough not to do that.
And how old were you when you got in the league, when you first got your check? Because I imagine for the players in the locker room, if you're in your early 20s, it's one type of mentality. And if you happen to be Tom Brady and you're 42, you know, maybe you have a different mentality. But for the young men, like, what age did you get your first big check?
I was 22.
Wow. Still a baby. Still coming out of diapers. Let me ask you this now. I know with football, it's such an incentive-based contract. Like, how did you incorporate that when it came to injuries? Did you kind of, like, know out there in the field, like, you can't get hurt and really trying to play the game where you're a little hesitant not to get hurt? Was that in the back of your mind? Because if you got injured, you're on the practice squad, what would happen? You still get paid?
Yeah, you do still get paid. But if you were on the active roster, they cut your salary pretty much in half. And so you're not getting that full check anymore when you're hurt.
Wow.
And then a big thing in the NFL is you can't make the team if you're on the sideline.
Wow.
No matter if you were a superstar before, if you're a superstar, it doesn't matter.
If you're a superstar, you'll get away probably with a lot more. But if you're a guy like me trying to make the team or a rookie, they're not going to cut you much slack.
Did you have a budget and plan, like in case an injury, I'll call it, no pun intended, an injury reserve?
No, not a chance. No budget or no nothing like that.
Wow, so your exposure was very high because if you make it through, if you get injured, there's not a lot of plan B happening for you and probably a lot of other people in the league.
Yeah, exactly. One smart player told me only count the money that's in your pocket.
Nice.
I'd love to know about, you talked about buying your car when your first big purchase. What about a home? Did you buy real estate? Did you rent? And yeah, tell us about that process.
No, I was just renting. So wherever we're at, I try to get a short-term lease and lease and some of the times I would get cut and I would have this lease and I would have to get out of it.
You're paid for the weeks you work. So if you get cut in week eight, that's it.
That's it.
Got it. And what about taxation, though? If you live in Minnesota and you're playing in L.A. or if you're playing in whatever city, are you taxed in both of those cities?
Yeah. So if I'm living in so I played in Philly. I live in Minnesota. I also live in Philly. And then we're playing in New York. I get taxed from New York, Philly, and Minnesota.
Wow.
And did you consider that at that age? Like, did you consider changing your residence from Minnesota to the city you were playing in? Or because it was so in flux that you were on these short-term contracts, did you not even think about that? Or
I considered it. But like I said, in order to make it in football, you got to be consumed. And so I felt like I didn't have the time. I probably did, but I just felt like I didn't. To do that.
Wow. I mean, we can go on and on. We're getting really deep here. It's when you get the big check, people. And as CJ's saying, there is a lot around getting this big check and how you manage it and all the other incidentals that happen around this thing. This is very interesting. So we're two black guys with good credit. We're going to go to commercial. I'll be right back with more CJ Smith.
Welcome back to Two Black Guys with Good Credit, a show for the financially curious and the financially knowledgeable. Today, we are talking about getting the big check, and we are joined by former NFL football player CJ Smith.
Hey, well, listen, you know, the reason why we did this show, I believe, is that everybody in life has a chance to get a big check, and it's what your definition of big check is. A big check to some may be $500, a big check may be $5,000, a big check may be $1 million, but the thing is what you do with that check. So don't think because you're hearing pro football player CJ Smith talk about his check that you're not going to get a big check in life, because we all will have access to some sort of lump sum at one time in our life. And it's what you do with it. And this is what the show is supposed to be teaching you. So, okay, CJ, you got this big check and you realize, you know, no pun intended, the car was not the best choice to make when you got the first check, as you said. So what was your like rude awakening where you're like, I am not going down the right path here with, and I'm like kind of misusing this money that I'm getting every week?
When I just started to look at my account and my money was just starting to go down the drain, that's when I realized.
That's a good indicator.
Yeah.
What was your turning? What'd you do?
I reached out to Mr. Sean Linden.
Oh!
Hey!
Hey! I got my plug. There we go.
Oh, CJ.
I was trying to fish it out, you know, in a nice way. I was trying to
forget. He's adjusting his crown as we speak.
You do a lot of fishing in Minnesota, right? You do a lot of ice fishing down there, right? Yeah. So I was trying to get that big blue bass out of you, that 10-pounder. So you've turned into two black guys with good credit. It's not just me, CJ. You got the lady with the facts. You got Big Matt there, and you got Mr. A. Forbes always listening in like Big Brother. And what inspired you? What did you say to, hey, this is what I need to know. This show is helping me. What was something that you got from our show?
Man, you guys helped me get my credit in order. And talking about leverage and all those things really helped me. And so when I reached out to you, Sean, he told me to eliminate my housing expense. And so
you got to be more specific for the good people out there. When you say eliminate housing expense, I didn't tell you to go homeless and live on the streets. What did I tell you?
You told me to eliminate my housing expense. And that term to me is called house hacking. What house hacking is where you buy a duplex, triplex, or fourplex, and you live in one of the units and you rent out the other sides. And so essentially you're living for free.
Boss move.
Yeah, because I said you were a dink. You know, you and your wife, I consider a dink, which is double income, no kids, right? So you don't need a lot of space. So it's best to, like, let your tenants pay your mortgage and start, you know, getting rid of your rent, basically.
So CJ, I just want to verify this. So you're saying talking to Sean Linda actually helped you?
Yes, it did.
Okay, I just wanted to verify that. I was a little stuck, but okay.
Appreciate, bro. Don't hate.
No hate.
So and we, you know, just for let the audience know, we had one conversation, and it was a few months ago, and, you know, it was good. It was maybe about an hour, but for you to act on it, it says a lot, because people reach out to me all the time and I'll give them conversation and it's more or less they take it in, but they're still scared sometimes to make that move. And you made that move surprisingly, like right away, to the point that now you and your wife are in contract to buy somewhere. Or are you actually closed?
Yeah. So we closed on the 15th. So.
Nice. Congratulations.
Amazing. Strong J.
Strong J.
And what did you close on?
We closed on a duplex in a great neighborhood in Minnesota.
Oh, wow. Did you get a tenant?
Yeah, so there's actually two tenants living in there right now.
Look at that.
The type of loan that we have to move in within 60 days. So the other people that they're kicked one side out.
And so are they covering majority of your mortgage, if not all?
Yeah, so our plan is to go in there. Once the other side moves out, we're going to renovate the whole place and raise the rent. And we're actually going to let one of my wife's best friends live with us. And we're actually going to produce income from living there.
Wow.
Great.
So do I have a place when I go to Minnesota?
You got a bed. Yes, sir.
Oh, that's amazing. So now you've turned your expenses into income. So that has swung your monthly income in, you know, I'm sure it's double now, the disposable income that you have now compared to what you had a few months ago, a year ago.
Yeah, definitely. So my expenses right now are super low. Don't have to pay for housing. And so I feel like I'm free right now.
Well, let me take it back a little bit, TJ. So during your playing career, what was the biggest salary you made? What was the biggest year of your income?
So I would say it's like $350,000.
And are you retired now? Are you still playing, or what's your status now?
Yes, I'm retired.
In your post-playing career, what have you been doing prior to reaching out to Sean and getting some of this game that Mr. Linda had? I just wanted to know, like, what were you doing and what do you do for income in your post-playing career?
So I've been listening to Two Black Guys and Good Credit.
I love you, man. I love the plugs. And this is a non-paid interview, by the way, everybody that's listening. Okay, brother ain't paying me. And I'm coming to Minnesota to go some ice fishing with him and stay by his crib.
Yes, sir. You guys helped me out so much. So that's the only thing that's the best I can do is plug a little bit. So I listened to Two Black Guys with Good Credit. You guys talk about side hustles, other ways to make money, and I was just researching all that stuff from the time that I stopped playing till now. I had that freedom that I didn't have to work right away. So I just started applying a lot of those concepts, and right now I'm just a part-time personal trainer, and then I rent out my car on Turo. And
who are you?
Wow.
And that pays for all my expenses. And my expenses are super low. So, like I said before, I feel like I'm free right now.
Wow, that's the feeling.
And you know, this is what I say all the time. Like, we all have a special talent, and it's how you leverage that talent. So what you realize, what you did, you built up a resume of how to train over the years by playing football. And then learning how to train effectively, you're able now to package that and monetize that in your post-football years to say, hey, I may not play football, but I know how to get in shape. And, you know, I can train you to do so. I think that's amazing. I think that's what most people got to understand. Like, on your job can teach you certain skill sets, regardless if you're a football player, if you're an accountant, if you're a lawyer, if you're just working at McDonald's, you have a certain skill that you can leverage and monetize. And then once you monetize, what you did, CJ, is that you said, okay, I got this revenue coming in, but like I said, net income is revenue minus expenses. I'm still going to go hard and hustle and figure out how to reduce my expenses next to nothing. And you did that. You rented, you've bought a place, you're getting income now, you have multiple streams of revenue. And I always say, you know, one of my punches can't take you out because you have multiple things going on that one thing can't take you out. If, for example, you injured yourself on the job personal training compared to football, you still got your rental income coming in. If you lose a tenant, you still got your personal training coming in. And the left hand doesn't depend on the right hand. And your wife is an accountant, is she, if I remember correctly?
Yes, sir.
So is that stable income coming from her? I need you guys to adopt me, bro.
Was it rough in terms of transitioning from your biggest year of income and your playing days to not getting that income? Like, was during that bridge, did you have to transition mentally on how you were, you know, living, like not getting that same paycheck?
Oh, yes, of course. When I was getting that big paycheck, we were not frugal at all. And so when I started to see the money go down the drain, I was stressed and worried and anxious, and I had to figure it out.
So my question is, what would you tell, like I always say to people, financial literacy, it should be a supportive of your lifestyle. You shouldn't just be thinking like, you know, I'm going to become financial literate so I can make $1 million. It's a big rich, get rich plan. Because it's not, as you witnessed. So what would you tell those listening to the show about the lessons, your lessons of financial literacy? Feel free to plug us again.
I will. But now that I'm not, I learned all this from the free workshop that you guys offered.
Oh, that's our our financially clean workshop.
Yes, the financially clean workshop.
Oh, wow! Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. I learned so much. It was great.
So continue, my brother.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how much money you're making. To me, when I was making all that money, I was just spending it all. And now that I'm not making nearly as much, I'm living a happier life because my expenses are super low. So I'm trading in my time for money, pretty much.
So CJ, do you have a financial advisor in your life now?
I did, but I'm happy to say that I just broke free of my financial advisor 2 weeks ago.
And why is that?
Because of the fees.
I thought I was going to get my plug. Can I ask that question again? And why is that?
Because I've been listening to Two Black Guys in Good Credit, and those hidden fees will get you.
My brother.
Smart man. Well, I'll say this. I mean, absolutely. Call us whenever. You know, Sean is, we're always welcome to, you know, advise anyone who's looking to reach out and actually get this information. But should you want to get someone local, there is a site called Smart Assets, and it's actually a free tool that will match you with a fiduciary financial advisor in 5 minutes in your area. So for those who are unsure how to go about it, maybe don't have anybody in their circle who has an advisor, this is actually uses algorithms to really find the right match for you. And at least some advice is better than none at all.
Or you can tune into Two Black Guys with Good Credit.
Absolutely.
And before, just to get back to a couple of things, you said something that was really interesting. You said, although you're making less money now, you're more happier than you were when you were playing football. Is that because of, like, you don't have that paranoia of getting injured, of, like, not getting that check every week, knowing that this is more stable income coming in?
You're in control.
Yeah, I'm more in control. So just being football is really a lot mental. It's really stressful, and it takes a lot just to play. So now that I have my free time, I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, only work $15 a week. And I keep on saying, I feel good and I feel free.
So you're not looking back. You're only looking forward.
Only forward.
Give me a life coach thing, Dion. You're all the life coach. What's the life coach saying for that? What's he doing? You're Miss Life Coach. You know, you're not the lady of the facts right now. Be Miss Life Coach. What's he doing right now?
I mean, really and truly, he is being responsible for his life rather than being at cause. So I feel like you were, to a certain extent, I don't want to, when you say you're victim, it's like you were at the mercy of the game. Versus now you've taken the reins.
Let me give you your plug, Dion. So where can people find you if they need some life coaching skills? This is what we do at Two Black Guys with Good Credit. You get your money's worth on this show. So where can they find you if they need some life coaching?
Wow. Come to liveyourbestlifeforyou.com. And we're going to create the life of limitless possibility.
CJ, I just want to say, my brother, I know you're a young guy. And I've never met you physically, but I can say this to you. I'm very, very proud of you, bro. Not just for listening to the show, but just for the decisions you've made in life at a young age and to have that responsible mindset and understand things and understand what you needed to adjust and change to live that life. And if I was like you at 25, I would be that much further ahead. So for all the young people listening, you know, people like CJ are people that you should really look up to and know that regardless of your circumstances, a guy that came from Section 8 from the project can do it with just a mindset. And the NFL, yes, it helped him out, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't what helped that propelled him to where he is today. It was making that active change and understanding money.
CJ, I have a question for you. Being a professional athlete, I know that required a lot of discipline for your physical training, your physical well-being. Did that discipline with your physical life, did that translate into you being able to be disciplined with your financial life when the light went on financially? Is there a correlation with your discipline?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's why football players struggle to find jobs after, because they don't utilize those skills. And so just taking that discipline, like you said, from football and applying it to learning about finances and taking that discipline and doing personal training and taking that discipline and just continue to take that discipline and do it, because a lot of people don't have discipline. So there's my advantage right there.
Yeah, and how you monetize. And it goes right back to anything that you do. Like, you have to keep up regardless of what you can't be living in this tunnel vision and not understand, like, the world is evolving and your skill sets has to change.
Yeah, definitely. I think that if you do play football and you did make it in the NFL, you do have skills that are transferable. You just have to figure out what they are.
And managing money is a key, like how well you manage your money and how well you manage your finances. And as you said it, regardless of how much money you make, it comes down to, are you going to manage your money correctly?
Yeah, exactly. Do you want to choose your time or your money?
Exactly. Hey, time or money, that's what we got to talk about right now. It's two black guys with good credit, and we about to get the big check.
Two black guys with good credit. Keep it locked.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to Two Black Guys with Good Credit, the show for the financially curious and the financially knowledgeable. Today, we are discussing the big check. And when you get that big check, what you're supposed to do with it? Today, we have CJ Smith, former NFL football player, joining us. Now, CJ, our producer, Arlington Forbes, informed me that the NFL has a program where they will pay for ex-players to go back to school. Is this true? Can you tell us about this? And are you considering doing this program?
Yes, they do. They do pay for ex-players to go back to school. It's free, so why not take advantage of it? As I start to dabble with real estate, why not get my real estate license?
So are you part of now the NFL Players like Retirement Association? Like, are you considered how many years do you have to spend in the league to kind of be considered like part of their whole retirement structure plan and all that stuff?
So the benefits start when you've played 2 years. So
that's not bad.
2 years, so I get.
So you're part of the fraternity for life.
Yes, sir.
You get to walk on the field at games. Can I come on the field with you? You get to go on the sidelines, all that stuff. Show them some ID.
I'm not sure about that one yet. I'm not sure about that.
So now that, you know, you're getting your feet dabbled in a little bit of real estate, you've started your own personal training and all that, what do you see, what are you looking at to invest in moving forward?
I'm going to continue to listen to the show.
My brother.
We're talking about bonds and index funds. And so I think index funds, that would probably be the next thing that I would like to dabble with.
Wonderful.
That's great. There's a young man similar to you. Have you heard of New York Jets linebacker Brandon Copeland?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, he's 27, so also quite young. And he also knows, you know, his football career isn't forever. So it's good to hear that more of you are really thinking ahead. So he actually graduated from Wharton. He's actually spent a couple of summers interning at some investment banks. And I just read an article where he right now is living off just 10 to 15% of his NFL salary. And basically he's saving his money to then go and teach financial literacy himself.
That's awesome.
So that's really awesome.
So CJ, question for you. if you look back, if you went back in time to the year when you made your biggest salary, your 400 or 350 grand, if with the knowledge that you've gotten now, if you were to go back in time, how do you think you could have flipped that? Or what do you think? Could you have turned that 350 into 450, 500? Or, you know, could you have grown that money differently if you had this knowledge?
What are you trying to say, Matt? Hindsight is 350, 350?
I definitely could have doubled my money easily. But it's all about cash flow. So I think I would have invested more into real estate, probably bought some bigger apartments or were commercial real estate and just really focused on the cash flow.
Great. Absolutely. And so it sounds like, you know, we are two confident brothers right now, and I sound like I'm speaking to another confident brother. So how do you see your financial future? I mean, you must be, like, very confident.
Yeah, I'm super confident. My financial future, I think, is going to be great. We plan on buying two houses every year, and if we get up to 10 houses, we'll be able to do whatever we want to.
That's great.
So, and I would say, CJ, you know, as my advice to you, like you don't need to super expose yourself. You know, you don't need to take large risk. Just slowly grind, acquire, and don't think that you need to. You don't need to hit the home run. Keep hitting first base, second base, and all those assets that you buy, buildings will add up. And by the time you hit, you know, Matt's age, you'll be the next super. You'll be the next Warren Buffett. Wow. Don't expose yourself. Don't let anybody tell you the next get rich scheme plan, because you're doing the right. You're working at the right pace. You're minimizing your expenses. You're acquiring assets. And you're not exposing yourself too much.
And I like to hear that you want to diversify too.
Yes. What do you recommend for other athletes or young professionals coming out? What advice would you give them?
Focus on your finances. It will save you a lot of time and money.
And how's your credit score right now doing?
My credit score right now is a 750.
Hey! Yeah.
And what was it before you started listening to Two Black Guys with Good Credit?
617.
Well, we are absolutely proud of you.
I'm very much proud
of
you.
Well done.
Oh, man. Thank you guys so much. I look up to all of you, and it's an honor to be here talking to you guys.
No, it truly is an honor to have you because, you know, we started this mission 3 years ago, and it was really for people like yourself, young people like yourself, to kind of tune in and understand what we were saying. And really, a lot of this show is built on, you know, trial and error, things that we've done, good and bad, that we try to correct and teach. So you catching in and then even going as further as listening to Financially Clean, it's what it's all about. It's really creating a movement. So, you know, your only fee to us is pass on the knowledge and make sure you keep doing what you're doing. And give me my free Airbnb spot when I come to Minnesota. Let's go. Let's do some ice fishing, brother. Let's do some ice fishing.
I don't think I've ever ice fished.
You wait to the end of the show.
Well, we can experiment together, so.
I appreciate you. Well, thank you for coming on Two Black Guys with Good Credit. We're going to keep in touch with you, CJ, to see how further you've gotten along. We'd love to have you back on the show maybe a year or so from now. Just let's see what CJ's up to.
Yeah, man. Any handles? Where can people follow you?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at CJSmith_6.
All right.
Yep.
Okay, cool. And actually, just so you know, we're both Smiths. So I think we're cousins, so I'm going
to
come out.
You see, he wants to hit you up, CJ. He's trying to hit you up, bro. You see how it goes?
One conversation, one meeting,
now you're related.
I know you got some of that NFL money left over, so, you know, cutting Matt, just trying to come get a...
Cousin Matt.
If you can handle this Minnesota winner.
Well, thanks again for coming on the show, CJ. It was nice to have you. We'll keep in touch, bro, and say hello to the wife.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for more Two Black Guys with Good Credit. It's all about getting that big check. Keep it locked. With good credit. Welcome back to Two Black Guys with Good Credit. It's all about getting the big check today. We want to thank our guest, CJ Smith, again. It was a wonderful interview. And my bottom line is, regardless of what we do or how much money we make, if we're NFL players or if we're working a 9-to-5, it's vital for us to gain knowledge on our finances. And no matter what a big check is to you, make sure you think strategically on how to best grow your money. And I'm Matt Smith, and I'm out. CJ's cousin.
I'm Sean, and I just want to say, you know, it comes down to, you know, living your best life now. Make that decision to live your best life, but allow financial literacy to help support you and propel you to live your best life. and understand that you define what this big check is and what you do with this check. A $100 check is a big check if you spend it right. So please take time to spend your money wisely, and you listen to a young man, CJ Smith, that is doing that and truly, truly living his best life. So live your best life, people. I'm Sean Linda, two black guys with good credit. Your money is your money. Keep it in your damn pocket.
Thanks, Sean. And now let's give the final word in this week's episode to the lady with the facts. So, Dion, why don't you take us home?
Well, like CJ, we always encourage you to email us at tbgwgc@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Two Black Guys Good Credit. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review to make it easier for those to find us. Today, I'm actually going to do the review about an amazing woman who made financial literacy a very central part of her life that sadly ended yesterday in a massive heart attack. My dear friend, Giselle Best, who she actually coined herself the tax woman from the hood. This is a woman who gave so much to empower women. She did work in business development, business strategy, teaching financial literacy. She actually sealed her book deal, The Wealthy Place. I guess it was Thursday morning, and she passed away that afternoon. So her legacy will live on in helping others create their wealthy place around the world. But I had to take this moment just to shout her out, because she was just one of those special ones.
You were the best.
Simply the best. And my name is Dion Nichols, a.k.a. the lady with the history, the stats, and the cold hard facts. And I'm out.
Two black guys with good credits.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.